is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes.
Thank you. faith arise. In spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise. For my champion's not dead, he is alive. And he already knows my every need. And surely he will come and rescue me. Supernatural love to break.
Faith and hope and love during this season. And in Hebrews this morning, it was saying faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. And in this next song, it talks about the journey. And I got to thinking about the faith that, number one, Mary had, but Joseph, that he had. And those wise men that traveled to see their king, they had a faith, nothing to build on, to travel, to follow that star, to see that king that would come and save the world. And how we can learn from that and have that kind of faith in this time, in this season, every day of our lives, that faith is what carries us, that hope is what gives us the confidence that Christ came for us to love us, to serve us, so that we can be one with Him. He is so great and so loving and so caring. We're so glad for that faith that they had to follow, to start that foundation of trust in Christ. Amen.
Searching for a king, but finding a child, no crown. For us to have everlasting union with you. And we come to you as the sacrifice today. And we are the worship song. And we are the prayer this morning. Thank you for your spirit and your presence in our life. What more can we do than just to sing all of the praise that we have for you in adoration? Father, you are so good. So, so good. We love you so very much. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Don't you just love this season? Can you believe it's here again? You know, the older you get, the more you realize life is but a vapor. James said life is a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it soon vanishes away. I don't think there's anyone here that doesn't believe that with all their heart. I really don't. Because everybody I talk to from time to time, they all say the same thing. Time is just flying by. Time is just flying by. How many... Does time go faster to you than it used to? Does it really? I mean, it's amazing. It seems like we were just here a few days ago. I still remember last Christmas, don't you? And I'm going, wow, then this now it's enrolled around again. It's just so fast. And so we started last week a transitioning of our being paradigm shift to our theme for tomorrow, next year, or whatever we want to call it. I don't like the word theme anymore because it kind of More paradigm shifting, don't you? Making it more real. But we're going to talk about the banquet. Next year is going to be the overriding. You know, the Song of Solomon said he brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me was love. He brought me to his banqueting table and his banner over me. We used to sing that song. Remember that song? He brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me was love. And so what I want to talk about this morning is we started last week about being at the table, coming to the banquet table. Today I want to bring it a little further and even into more of where we're going next year is that we learn how in him we live and move and have our being. But what I want to talk about today is not just coming to the banquet table, but becoming the banquet table. Becoming the meat. Becoming the bread, the strength. Becoming the wine, the joy. Becoming the fruit. Becoming the healing for other people. Don't you know that's what Christ really wants in our lives? That we not just come to the banqueting table, but that we become the table. That we have these things to give out. And in talking about that and coming to this realization, I've made a resolution for next year, and in the past I haven't really made resolutions much because I don't keep them, especially those that talk about I'm going to work out more and that kind of stuff. And I always tell you in January, be careful for the people out in the streets running and walking. You'll hit somebody because there'll be a whole lot of people out there in the first of the year, but give it a month and it'll all calm down. But I've got three words. I had a word this year, and we're not going to do words for next year, but I chose three words. And you know what? I feel so strong about these three words. I feel so invested in these three words. I believe that if you will listen to me today, that you will adopt these. This will be your resolution. I believe if you listen to me today, if you hear what I'm saying, then these three words, these three things will become everything to you. And the three things, and I got this from the banquet, really. And the first one is faith. I want to increase, expand my faith next year. I want to get to that place where I really, really grasp hold of faith is substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. I really want to see faith explode in my life. Faith is the most important thing in your life, because what you believe is everything. And so faith, I want to increase that. Second of all, I want to increase my fellowship. I want to expand my relationships. How many know relationships is really, really important? And relationships is, there's no greater joy in the world than relationships. A person wouldn't take $10 million if it took away all their relationships. Some people might would, but most people are not going to do that because their relationships is everything. You know, I was helping Mike Thompson's daughter move to Nashville this week. Will went up and helped me, and we went up on Thursday morning, took a Penske truck full of furniture, and we were putting it in this apartment, and about halfway through it, I looked at Mike and I said, you know, Mike, if reincarnation was real. Now, first of all, Buren doesn't believe in reincarnation. Say that. Okay. Buren's just being funny. Buren's just being, this is a funny. And so I said, you know, Mike, if reincarnation was real and that if we came back somebody else, if that happened to me, I'm not going to have a lot of friends. They're way overrated. When you're middle of helping a friend move his daughter to Nashville, see, friendship cost. Oh, I'm going to preach a little bit here. I think I'll just preach a little bit here. You know why some people don't want deep relationships? Because they cost something. You don't have deep relationships without paying a price for it. The Bible says, he who hath friends must show himself friendly. You see, we do a wedding ceremony. In the beginning of this wedding ceremony that we do, it says this. It says that finding the right partner is really not what it's all about. It's being the right person. See, it's about being the right. If you be the right person, you'll find the right person. But if you're not the right person, when you find the right person, they won't be the right person because you're going to mess them up. Because you're not, you know, there's a new paradigm. I love this word, paradigm shift. You see, we overuse that. There's another paradigm shift going on in the world, in the Christian world, and I love it. And I first heard it from Ralph Martin. Then I've heard it from preachers. I can't tell you how many preachers I've heard preach this, that when you get married, you don't get married for someone to complete you. That means you're half a person. None of us is a half a person. We get into a relationship not to complete one another. We should be complete before we get into it, because if two 50%ers come together, guess what? It's not going to make 100%. Because a relationship's not based on giving 50-50. It's 100-100. It's giving everything to that relationship. It's becoming, it's being light. It's being love. It's becoming. We need to focus on becoming more than anything and any else and any time in our life. We need to focus on what are we becoming. I want to become the right person, not just find the right person, because I want to be the right relationship, and I can find the right relationships. There's three words I want you to listen to. We're going to talk about a lot next year. The word engage, discover, and define. If we engage in life, if we engage in things, we will discover some things, and then we'll be able to define them, what they really mean to us. I want you to go back with me to define what a feast was. You know, the Jew had this messianic banquet thought, and they believed that one day when God broke in history, that the golden age would begin. That everything was going to be different, and all was going to be well, and the future was going to be awesome. And so they would have these feasts, and these feasts was to remind them of their divine potentialities. They, you know, years ago, I discovered the different feasts that Israel had, and all of them, and was at a youth camp one time, and I was reminded this the other day about the youth camp we just had, and how when you get away, when you just lock in to God, when you separate yourself from all the other things that take away things from, when you really, see, if you want to have a divine mind and you want good relationships, you're going to have to give to it. You're going to have to focus on it in such a way. And a feast in Jerusalem was a receptive state of mind toward all spiritual good. It's the realization of the unfailing substance of a divine mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In Matthew 22, there's another story of a great feast. And it's Matthew, when he wrote this in 80 AD. And that's important that you know that. Matthew wrote this after the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus, last week we saw, hey, he told the parable and he said, a man had a banquet and he sent out invitations for people to come. And some said they're too busy. Some, he said, well, go get some more. And they went and got some more. And then he said, well, go get some more. And they kept doing it until they filled the house. But here it says, Jesus told them other parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited, but they all refused to come. So he sent other servants to tell them, the feast has been prepared. The bulls and fattened cattle have been killed. Everything is ready. Come to the banquet. But the guests he had invited ignored them and went their own way, one to his farm, another to his business. Others seized his messengers and insulted them and killed them. The king was furious, and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their town. And he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honor. Now go out into the streets, the corners, and invite everyone you see." So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike, and the banquet house was filled with guests. Aren't you glad he gets the good and the bad? That got us all in, didn't it? But when the king came to meet the guest, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. "Friend," he asked, "how is it that you are here without wedding clothes?" But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, "Bind his hands and feet, throw him in outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." That's a bad ending, isn't it? Why was this so stern? Why was this such a stern word? Why did this happen? Because when you are invited, see, today when you are invited to a wedding, if you're invited to be a part of the wedding, you got to buy your own clothes. If the bridesmaids, they have to rent their own clothes. The grooms have to rent their own tux. But in this day, when you're invited to the wedding and to be a part of the wedding, the clothes were provided. So the master is upset because he had provided the wedding clothes for the person to put on, but he wasn't curious enough, he wasn't interested enough, he wasn't thirsty enough for the things of God to put the clothes on that already been provided for him, so he shows up without it. And what had happened, Matthew's writing this in 80 AD, and the destruction of Jerusalem had already happened. This is really a prophetic word that had already been happened, because he said, "He came into his own received him not, but as many as did receive him, to them gave power to become the sons of God." And he said to Israel, "Don't weep for me, but weep for you, your children and your children's children, who won't put on the garment that I provided for you." And so there's this sad, how many know that if you don't put on the garments that God has provided for you, there will be some devastation in our lives? It's just a fact. If I don't put on the armor of God, I'm not going to win the battles. If I don't put on love, I'm not going to be an overcomer. And that's why the most important thing there is in life is knowing that our relationships are intact because we're intact. We're intact. You know, I was talking the other week, and Billy's not here, but I went up to Billy, and I talked about a speck in your brother's eye. You see the speck in their eye, but you don't see the log in your eye. A speck's mighty small. You got to get real close to see a speck. But he says, you're not to take a magnifying glass and look into somebody else's eye. But what you need to do is what somebody who wrote a song years ago said: the world's going to change, you got to look in the mirror. Most people use magnifying glasses to look at everybody else and fail to take the mirror and look at themselves. Because that's what life is about. I want to talk about Mary. It's Christmas, isn't it? I want to talk about Mary. Let's talk about Mary. Talk about how can I do this? How can I become? How can I do this? Years ago, I'd forgotten about this but I was thinking a lot about Mary this week. We had a communion table like most churches do, and our communion table set off on the side, and I had a big old statue of Mary on the communion table. And only Protestant church in Griffin with Mary on the communion table. Probably only Protestant church in Georgia with Mary. Probably only Protestant church in the world with Mary on the communion table. And, you know, I thought about this week. I know why I did it, because this lady brought it. And, you know, when you got 20 people, they do whatever they want to do. I can't afford to lose anybody. So she had this big old statue of Mary, and she said, "Can I put this statue of Mary on the communion table?" "Sure." I can't believe you tell you the criticism I got from Mary on the communion table. I mean, it was unbelievable, the persecution I got. It got to be a rumor outside in the city that New Life, that was our name of our church, and New Life had Mary on the communion table. I'm thinking, y'all ain't got nothing else to talk about. But that was the mentality, was you got Mary on the communion table. Well, I wish I had a big old statue of Mary right now. I'd set it right up here next to me. Because I want to show you, if we will be like Mary, then we can give birth to Christ too. Oh, you're not listening. Because if we will be like Mary, we can give birth to Christ too. How many would like to give birth to Christ? How many would like to see that happen in your life? And so, well, to do that, you've got to use some imagination. Imagination is the faculty of the mind that images and forms. It's the power to shape and to form a thought. Anybody ever imagine? You know, a lot of people use it for the wrong thing. Before you can become what you need to become, you're going to have to imagine it to be. You're going to have to use your imagination. And then I've got this new book, and it's called The Revealing Word. And it takes words that I've known for years, like church and family and all these words. It takes these words, and it expands them tremendously. I mean, the guy just takes these biblical words and doesn't just, you know, like you hear us sometimes give you a Greek word and then we give you an expanded definition of it. Well, this book I've got gives this real expanded definition of these words. And so when I got to thinking about imagination, I got to thinking about Mary. When I got thinking about Mary, I got to thinking about her immaculate conception. And so this writer in this book talked about this immaculate conception. He says, the coming into activity of the Christ in us is the result of an exalted idea sown in our mind. And let's read it. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." How many know everybody here has found favor with God? You have found favor with God. That's something awesome. We hear that. It's been a principle taught over the last 20 years that's just swept the world. We have the favor of God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but now she's in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. The old King James Version says, Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. She had to ponder that word. She had to accept that word. She had to believe that word. She had to walk in that word. She had to continue to think about that word. She had to let that, when it said she was overshadowed, by this high idea about how she could conceive without having a relationship with anybody. How could she become pregnant? She had to continue to meditate on that. And all of a sudden when she did, all of this imagination and all of this thinking, this seed all of a sudden became a cell, and the cell became cells, and eventually Christ was born. You see, Linda was telling us in staff meeting the other day, and I've known this story forever, is that, I mean, Jesus wasn't born in December. He was born in September. I mean, that's just a fact. It's fine. I don't care when you celebrate. I kind of like it where it is. We celebrate at the end of the year. There's nothing wrong with that. This has not, used to be, oh, you're celebrating Christ on a pagan day. No, we're not. We just, a day we chose. But he was born in September. But you see, we can celebrate in December because he was conceived in December. And they believed the moment you conceived, you became a human being. Wow. And so, in reality, see how I never figured it out. I think when you're born, you're already almost a year old.
That's right.
I mean, you really. I mean, when you're born, I always get, you know, we don't get to be a year old until 12 months later. What, you was at least 9 months old when you were born, right? You've been here for 9 months. And so I believe what Mary's saying in the strong Greek, I am going to let this word that this angel has given me, I'm going to let that become a reality because I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to hold on to that word. You know, I've had people tell me, you know, I kind of don't believe in the prophetic because I've seen the prophetic and it didn't come out and didn't pan out the way that, you know, it was said to have panned out. Well, do you know the Bible says the war, good warfare over the prophecy spoken over you? God's spoken a lot of things over me. Some of them have come true. A lot of them have come true. Some of them haven't come true. You know why? I haven't warred a good warfare. I haven't held on to that word. I haven't meditated on that. I haven't held, no matter, faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And so you got to hold that word. Mary held that word, and as she held that word, her body began to respond to that word that was sown in her mind, in her heart. It was a promise. And she held that promise in her. She imagined it happening, and you know what? It happened. An immaculate conception. Paul said to the church of Galatia, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He said to them, what happened to you? How did you start this journey with such faith? How did you start this journey with such grace? How did you start this journey with such belief to fall back to where you are to now that you think it's by works? How did you do that? And Paul said, I've got to start all over with you again. And I'm travailing that Christ is formed in you. Now I want to give you four quick steps of how to let this thing happen in you. How many want to hear this? Well, write it down. If you don't write it down, you don't believe God. I'm just you just don't believe the Lord. All right. Number one, I've got to focus. Say focus. I got to focus. There's a movie. I don't represent the movie. What am I trying to say? Commend the movie. But it's a movie focused, pretty interesting movie. But they had this guy, and he's at a football stadium. And he's betting this guy. He's betting on all kind of things. They bet on would the next pass be dropped or would this happen. Well, the guy loses over $1 million. So he finally was leaving out $1 million down and decided to go back. He just came back and he said, I bet you $1 million. You look down on that football field and you pick out a player and his number. And I'll tell you what that is. And, of course, the guy says, you got to be kidding. He says, no. So he looks down on the field, picks out a number of a guy. 55, I think, was the number. And he stood there for a few minutes. And he said, 55. And the guy said, my gosh. How did you know that? I said, because we, this group of people, trained you to see 55. And then they showed the whole next day before, they had 55 in front of him everywhere he went. He kept seeing 55, 55, 55. His focus was 55. How many know what you focus on is what you're going to see? If you look for bad, guess what? You're going to find it. You know, seek and you shall find means more than just good. Whatever you focus on, whatever you seek, you'll find it. You want to find fault in me? You can find it. Ask Barbara. You seek it, you'll find some fault. I assure you, I promise you, you will. If you want to find some fault in this church, hey, let me save you some time. Just come and talk to me. We'll point out some things, and that way you ain't got to find it. We'll just let you know. We're not perfect. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but somebody I'm preaching to. Whatever we focus on, we need to focus on becoming and not finding. I've told you the story so many times about Barbara and I. I stopped trying to find what I wanted to find in Barbara. I started becoming what I needed to be. Stop trying to find something with your mate. Become what you want your mate to be to you. Oh, is that how it works? I think Jesus said it like this. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. However you want your neighbor to love you, love them the way you love yourself. The Bible says no man ever yet hated himself, but he loves himself. He nurtures himself. You say, well, some people commit suicide. They don't commit suicide because they don't love themselves. They commit suicide because they love themselves so much that they hate the pain, the agony that they're in. Every man loves himself. He just got to learn how to take that love for himself and transmit it to other people. Do unto others, you should have them do unto you. Focus on becoming. Number two, focus on the good stuff. Focus on the good stuff. You know, when counterfeit money came out years ago, and I'm sure many of you heard this story, but counterfeit money came out years ago, and they got training the bankers and people in the banking industry how to identify counterfeit money. They didn't give them counterfeit money to look at. They gave them the real money, and they studied the real money. They studied the real McCoy, and they studied it and focused on it so much that they could identify what wasn't real. See, when you focus on truth enough, you don't have to worry about deception. You've got truth, so in you, you know, you'll recognize this other real easily. You know, Paul said the strength of sin's the law. If you focus on the law, focus on and just trying to keep the law, you won't keep the law. If you focus on righteousness, you'll be righteous. If you focus on unrighteousness, guess what? You'll be unrighteous. So focus. Me. In 1980, I was ordained by the Assemblies of God. And in my ordination service, a guy was preaching. And he preached this real, I've shared this for, since 1980, I've shared this, I bet, 1,000 times. I was asked to preach the graduating class of Danny B. Healers. When he graduated from high school, they had a guy that they were going to preach it, and he got sick. That's how I got in. Some reason I got in. That was the last thought, you know. So they called me, and they said the preacher who was going to preach it, our real first choice, the one we really wanted, that's what I'm hearing. He got sick. Can you preach the baccalaureate service? I said, sure. I preached this, what I preached at it. He said, there's three sure steps to failure. And I remember him saying this, if I gave you three sure steps to success, you probably won't remember it. But everybody's trained to focus on failure. He said, I'm going to give you three sure steps to failure. Magnify your problem. Minimize your resources. And just leave God out. And he used the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And the disciples came and said, Lord, Jesus said, have them sit down, let's feed them. He said, Lord, we can't feed all these people. There's no way we can get enough. Maximize your problem. Another man came to Christ and said, well, there's a little boy here with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. What's that? Minimize your resources. How many know that God can still feed 5,000 with 5 loaves of fish and 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? How many know he can still send down manna from heaven? How many knows he can still open up Red Seas? How many know he can still make a way where there is no way? How many know that he does work? Are we just going to sing these songs and we're going to believe these songs? He is a miracle working God. And Mary pondered that and focused on that in her heart until she conceived. She conceived. We got to focus on the good stuff. The good stuff. Seek the good stuff. Number three, focus on now. Now. Stop looking for tomorrow. The two biggest thieves in your life is your past and your future, because you're not neither one of them. You're in the present, and that's all you ever have is what you have right now. The present. Focus on the present. Now is all I have. I think that's what Paul really meant. And he said, now faith is. When you read that in Hebrews 11, there's that word now faith is. Not tomorrow faith is. Not yesterday faith. Now faith is substance of things hoped for. And last but not least, focus on your faith of what you believe is the foundation of everything that's going to happen in your life. Everything is going to be based on my faith, what I believe. Billy shared a story with me last Sunday morning. I shared a little bit with the Wednesday night, but he shared this story about what happened to him a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, Billy's had a back operation years ago. And back started hurting again. And he's talking to a guy he plays golf with, and this guy had this doctor do this surgery on him 10 years ago. It's a real simple procedure, but he does it, and it took away all the pain. Hadn't had any pain in 10 years. Billy's lying there in bed. And I hope I can tell the stories, remember, as best I can. But Billy's lying in bed, this is how he prayed. Lord, this is Billy. This is Billy. In other words, hey, look down here. I'm somebody special, really what he's saying. I've done a lot for you. This is Billy. I don't want this pain, and I don't want this surgery. Billy got up that morning, and all the pain that he'd had for months was gone. And I said to Billy, I said, Billy, Ralph Martin says to me all the time, when you get serious, serious shows up. Grace be upon all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. You can't underestimate the word serious. It's when somebody really, really wants to have a conversation with you. It's when somebody really, you know, they look at your face, and if you turn your head from them, they'll grab your chin, pull it back to you. It's like people do me all the time. I'm talking to you. I ain't so much better at it. I can so look at you for such a long time. And watch you just talk. I discipline myself to do. Every now and then I go like that, but I write back. If I can do that, you can do that. If I can focus, you can focus. Yeah. I can focus with ADD. I can focus. I'm proud of that. And so, there's only been a few times in my life when I prayed those serious prayers. You know what? When I did, God got serious when I got serious. You are serious about some things next year. You want to see change. You want to see happen in your life. Get serious and stay serious. I'm serious that I am going to increase my faith. I'm going to increase my fellowship. I'm going to expand my relationships. Made my mind up. Told my wife, hold me accountable. I'm going to do it. The fun part, that's easy. Did I tell you about the fun part? Faith, fellowship, and fun. That's my three words. Y'all adopt those words. Faith, fellowship, fun. Fun's the easy part of me. I'm going to have fun. I had fun in Nashville moving. We had fun, didn't we? We're going to make it fun. I'm going to make it fun. Because life's supposed to be a party. It's a banquet. It's a good time. It's joyous. It wants your relationships that way. Focus on the good. Focus on the good. Don't let bad things destroy you. Don't let bad things that happen in your life. I told a lady this week, and I got it from Brandon Wednesday night. He talked about a message he heard about a story. And that don't make scenes in your life your story. They're just scenes. They don't make up the whole story. You know what I'm saying about that? I didn't have a bad moment, a bad scene in my life. That's not my story. Don't let a scene become your story. And I was able to tell someone that this week on the phone going to Nashville, going through a very troubling time. And I said, don't let this scene become your story. It's just a scene in your life. It's going to be past. Just do things God's way, and the story will unfold the way it should unfold. Right? His story, ain't that good stuff? I wish I'd have thought about that. I do. I wish I'd come up with that joy, but I didn't. But it's good, still good. I preach some stuff you post every now and then. I wish I'd come up with it, but it's good. So I can share it. Because once you post it, it's mine too. It's everybody's. That's the way you want it, isn't it? All right. Did you get anything out of this? He said, "People, yeah. Why you need us? Do you need our appraisal this morning? Yeah, I do. Be honest. Sometimes I don't. I really don't. Sometimes I know I did good. Sometimes I wonder, And this is one in kind. I'm trying to say some stuff. I'm trying to get it across in such a way. I hope you get it. See, you ought to try this sometime. It is not as easy as it may look. It ain't as easy as we make it look. I'm telling you, it ain't easy. Get up here and talk about relationships. But I decided something, Joy. I've been married 44 years this month. I got something to say about relationships. I got 3 grandkids. I got something to say about relationships. I've been pastoring a church for 40 years. I think I know something about relationships. If I don't, I need to quit. I need to learn something by now. You need to move on down the road. Relationships is the most important thing in your life. The most important thing in your life. I hope you'll be like me this next year. Extend your faith. Extend your fellowship. And the fun will follow. Amen. How many want to have fun? Good. Praise team, be coming.
As our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, if you have your connection card, hopefully at least 2 of you, because I have 2 spots available on Thursday for ringing the bell, have signed up for that. I want to remind you also that today is our EWC Kids Got Talent. And there is a rumor I've just heard through the grapevine that if you come at 3 o'clock today, you'll get to see little Riley Thurston sing and play the guitar. That's just a rumor. That's just what I heard. I hope it's true because I am excited about being here. After EWC Kids Got Talent, those kids that are here will have a little reception party in this building. And our invited guests, the Angel Tree families, will then go over to the youth building to receive their Angel Tree gifts. So all of that will be taking place today. 3 o'clock is when it starts, and whenever the talent show is over, we will move to the Angel Tree. Those that are in the talent show need to be here at 1 o'clock in order to rehearse and go over that. So make sure that you do that. So. This particular Rushton Hope this Saturday is Eagles Ways Saturday, and we have ladies that are going to be doing some cooking of some macaroni and cheese, but this particular one is a served meal, sit-down meal. It will be at the Flint Center, which is the old West Griffin building, rather than at Rushton Hope, and so we need some additional volunteers that are interested in helping to serve that day. So need you from about 10:30 until 1, and you can register or put that on your card also. So I think that I covered everything that I needed to cover. God's a good God, isn't he? All the time. I'm going to pray, and then if you want, I'd like for you to stand, and we're going to end with, what are we going to end with? What?
Who would have dreamed?
Who would have dreamed? All right. Father, Lord, we thank you for this holiday season, the opportunity to give our time, our talents, our treasures, the opportunity to give praise to you. We thank you, Father, Lord, that you'll continue to pour yourself out, show yourself real in our lives and those we come in contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand, let's worship. Thank you.
have a good week.
You know, why don't we just right now go ahead and act this next year in some faith. I forgot about the sacrament of healing. You here and you need prayer for God to do something in your being, spirit, soul, or body. Just come and stand across this front, and there's going to be some people going to pray for you. And we're going to believe God by faith to save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Amen? Let's do that.
See you guys next week.